Welcome to the Shir in Targumim. The Shir this evening is sponsored first by Mrs. Marcia Friedman, marking the art side of her husband, Shalom David Friedman, which was earlier today. It's also sponsored by Shani Feitelowitz, marking the yard site of her parents, and Yehuda Baim, Moshe Mendel ben Mordechai Levi, Bli Machano, Bas Rav Ben Zion Meir, and Yehuda Ezra ben Shalom Gutman, whose yard site are all tonight. All the neshamas should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the families are involved in. Last week, as you may be aware, Baruch Hashem, we had simchas to go to every night, which is a very wonderful thing. The downside of having simchas every night is that we didn't have a shir here in the Targumim. I assume everybody on their own was busy sitting and steiging, you know, so I'm not worried about that per se, but we lost out on the shiurim. So with your permission, actually tonight, we'll do a little bit of a retrospective, a walk down memory lane. You know, if we can remember back to last week, when we read Parshas Kisavo, we'll go through a little bit of the Targumim and Parshas Kisavo. Next time we'll have the shiur this week will be Thursday night, and we'll do the Targumim Parshas Nitzavim, and hopefully this way we can, you know, get Targumim from last week, from this week, and, try to get everything ready for the Yom Tovim. So, Parshas Kisavo opens up with the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. And there are a number of interesting things in the Targum that we'll try to mention tonight. So the first thing is the Targum I actually spoke about on Shabbos in the first minyan. So if you're at that minyan, this will be chazara, this will be review. And if you're at that minyan and you don't remember, or you weren't at that minyan, so it'll be a little less chazara. Okay. So the pasuk says that when the farmer brings his bikurim to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, he places the basket with the bikurim before the mizbeach, before the altar. Then perchavav pasuk hey, v'onisa v'omarto lufnei Hashem Elokecha. He then makes the declaration, which we know is the mikra bikurim, and the mikra bikurim, of course, is the centerpiece of the Haggadah, which we recite on the night of the Seder. How do you translate the words v'onisa v'omarto? So v'omarto means you should say. With regard to v'onisa, Rashi writes loshon haromas kol. It means you should say loudly. So v'onisa v'omarto means you should proclaim loudly. Arami oved avi. You should say the parsha bikurim not in a whisper. You should say it loudly, say it proudly. You know that he's bringing his bikurim and he recounts the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We know that the word ve'onisa usually means you should answer, right? Sometimes we find that it means to say something in a loud voice. We'll talk about an example of that a little bit later in the parsha. But, in our davening, when we talk about Klal Yisrael standing by the Yamsuf and singing Shira, we say, Yachad kulam hodu v'imlichu v'amru, as the pasuk has it go. Myriv. Is that Kaylee Anu Ve'amru, right? So they, right? So it's a good thing we're going to get down to Myriv soon. Right? Zek Kaylee Anu Ve'amru. So what does it mean, Zek Kaylee Anu Ve'amru? So simple pshat is that they said the word Zek Kaylee, this is my God, out loud, right? There's a simple pshat. So that's what Rashi is saying over here, that it's also a Lashon HaRomas Kol. A little bit later in our own parashah, Parashas Kisavo, we find what seems to be clearly a usage of that, of the word va'anu in that fashion. Later on in Perek of Zion, when the Torah talks about the brachos and the klolos, which were given at Har Grizim and Har Eval, it says, Perek of Zion, posuk yudalit, va'anu halaviyim, va'amru kol ish yisrael korom. The Leviim should say to all of the people in a loud voice, va'anu. What's va'anu? Pashtus, it doesn't mean that they're going to answer. Who are they answering? They're the ones who are initiating the speech over there. It's the Leviim who are initiating the speech of the brachos and klalos. So va'anu over there seems to be that they'll say out loud, right? However, the Targum Unculus over here writes that V'oniso V'omarta is translated V'sosev V'semar. You should answer and you should say. In other words, in contradistinction to Rashi, who says that V'oniso means you should say loudly, the Targum Unculus and Targum Yonasam and Uziel as well translates the word V'oniso as you should answer. So, again, the question is, what do you mean you should answer? Whom is the farmer answering to? He shows up in the Beis HaMikdash, he puts down the basket with the Bikurim, and he starts talking. What's he answering? So it would seem that the Targum Unculus over here is adapting a position that's very similar to what is spoken out over here by the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes on the word Ve'onisa, Yitochen sheyishalu ha-kohanim lemor mazeh shehevesa. It seems, it's possible, says the Ibn Ezra, that when the farmer brought his Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, the first one to speak was the Kohen. The Kohen first asked the farmer, what is this? Mazeh shehevesa, what is this thing that you're bringing? And then the farmer, quote-unquote, answers, V'onisa V'omarta, Arami Oved Ovi. Right? It literally means an answer because there was a question that preceded that answer. And, you know, the Targum Unculus, without spelling out that he holds like the Ibn Ezra, but it seems like, on the surface, he holds like the position of the Ibn Ezra. If there's an answer, it means there must have been a question. You know, what's the question? What is it that you're bringing? So to that, you know, the farmer answers. What is the role of this question, Mazeh Shehevesa? I mean, duh, as they say, right? In other words, the farmer shows up as a basket of fruits. It's the season between Shavuos and Chanukah when, you know, one brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. He comes to the Kohen with a basket of fruits. Mazeh Shehevesa. Oh, did you bring me kiwis? Oh, I was in the mood for kiwis. I need a new fruit for Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean, Mazeh Shehevesa? Of course, obviously it's Bikurim. What do you mean? Why is he asking? So apparently, the Ibn Ezra understands, based on the Pasuk, and again, the Targum Unculus seems to understand that way as well, that it was incumbent on the Kohen to pose an answer, which of course the Kohen knows the answer to. To pose a question, rather, which the Kohen knows the answer to. He knows that the farmer is bringing Bikurim, but apparently it's important for the farmer to make his declaration in response to a question of the Kohen. It's a ritualized question. It's not... Well, the Mikra Bikurim is not Ma'akev, and it's still Yotze Bikurim, and it's hard to say that the question is Ma'akev, because, again, I don't know that we find in Halacha, Mishnayis and Bikurim, I don't think mentioned that the Kohen has to ask the question, but apparently, L'chatchila, the way the Ibn Ezra understands the Psukim, is that the Kohen would ask a question to then prompt a response. So, obviously, it's a ritualized question. It's not that the Kohen doesn't really know what the, you know, what the basket holds. So the question then becomes, why would there be this requirement on any level, l'chatchila, of the Kohen having to ask a question in order to elicit an answer? So what we suggested over Shabbos, and not to make a shameless plug for my Haggadah, but I have this in the Haggadah, only $5 all there in the corner if you want. But what we suggested over Shabbos is that the psukim over here are very reminiscent of an idea that would be expressed by Chaim Soloveitchik many, many, many years later. Chaim Soloveitchik raised the following question. We know that there is a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. Right? We fulfill that during the recitation of Parshas Tzitzis. When we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, we're supposed to have in mind, it's a beferish note in the art scroll, right? We're supposed to have in mind that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We're supposed to remember that every single day, that we have to remember we left Mitzrayim. So ask Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, so when there's a mitzvah on the night of the Seder of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of how we left Egypt, why is that novel? I mean, we have a mitzvah every single night of the year to mention the fact that we left Mitzrayim. So what is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim adding on the night of the Seder that we don't have every single other night of the year? So Reb Chaim said there are three differences between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of the three differences, he said, is that whereas when we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every night, we just mention it. On the night of the Seder, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the context of a question and answer. There's a dialogue that's supposed to elicit the idea of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course, we know that's how the whole Haggadah is structured. The child gets up and asks the fear kashas. He asks the manishtana. And then the story of how he left Mitzrayim is what the father says in response to the child. Right? It's all, that's not just a nice thing to get everybody interested. That's part of the fundamental mitzvah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be in a question and answer format. So we could argue that this idea that Reb Chaim is bringing out goes back to the pasuk. The psukim of Arami Oved Avi, which are the psukim used in the Haggadah to fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, themselves, according to the Ibn Ezra and the Targum, are supposed to be presented in a question and answer format. The Kohen says, what did you bring? And the farmer responds, Arami Oved Avi. Why? Because the best way, apparently, to say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is in this question and answer format. You know, the best way to educate in general is a question and answer format, right? So too over here as well, the question and answer format is built in to the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim in a way that Reb Chaim said, similarly, it's built in to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Yeah.
It's just not simply functional and ritualistic, but there's the humanistic of the Kohen asking, and that gives him a chance to answer, this is what I worked hard for, and this is my fruit. So it's bringing out the interpersonal relationship of a greater pride in his work.
Uh-huh.
He's just not a functionary taking.
Right. Okay, no, I hear. So that's just the beginning of the pasuk. V'yoniso v'yomarito lefnei Hashem Elokecha. But then the pasuk goes on. Arami oved avi. What do the words arami oved avi mean? So interestingly, the Rashbam writes over here as follows. Arami oved avi. Avi Avraham arami hoya. Who is my father? Who's referenced in the pasuk? Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was an Arami, meaning he came from Aram, he came from Syria. Oved means that he was wandering or lost. Gola me'eretz Aram. Avraham Avinu wandered away from his hometown of Aram. Kedeksiv lech lecha me'aretzicha. As the pasuk says, lech lecha. So in other words, Arami Oved Avi means my father, Avraham Avinu, was an Arami Oved. My father was a Aramean who wandered away from his original land. He was lost and exiled from his original land. Now then you have to continue reading the pasuk a little bit more loosely when it says Vayered Mitzrayma, he went down to Egypt. In context, that's not talking about Avraham Avinu, even though Avraham Avinu did go down to Egypt. But again, clearly, if you continue reading the pasuk, Vayered Mitzrayimah, Vayogar Sham Bimsei Ma'at, Vahisham L'Goy Gadol Atzim Varav, you know, he became a great nation there. It doesn't really mean Avram. Avram went down to Mitzrayim, but did not become a great nation in Mitzrayim. It means Avram's descendants. Arami Oved Avi, right? The story of Klal Yisrael starts with, you know, Avraham Avinu, who was homeless and left his homeland, and we became homeless once again when we went down to Mitzrayim and had to deal with everything there. But the Arami Oved Avi is a reference to Avraham Avinu, says the Rashbam.
How does the Rashbam recalling the Rashbam? How does he reconcile
the representation of the Rashbam? Yeah, no, so the Baal Haggadah interprets this pasuk differently, as does the Targum Onkelos, as does Rashi. We'll get to that, but again, like many other things in Jewish life, there's pshat and drash. In other words, the Rashbam would say pshat in the pasuk is it means Avram Avinu, and you know what we read in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Lov and Bikesh Lakara Sakol. That's all derech hadrash. Fine, like the Rashbam, similar to the Rashbam. The Ibn Ezra, also perhaps not so surprisingly, the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, the two champions of Pshat, you know, even when Chazal darshan a pasuk differently, the Ibn Ezra over here also understands that the word Oved means wandering, and, you know, it's our father who wandered over here. Right? So the Ibn Ezra writes, Hakarov Sha'arami Hu Yaakov. Ki ilu Omar Akosov Kasher Hoya Ovi Ba'aram Hoya Ovid. Arami refers not to Avram Avinu, but rather to Yaakov. But the sense of it is basically the same. Yaakov Avinu came from, found himself in Aram. He didn't, unlike Avram, who came from Aram, Yaakov Avinu found himself in Aram. He went to Aram, to the birthplace, to where Lavan was at that time. He was lost in Aram. And Yaakov ultimately, after spending time in Aram, went down to Mitzrayim. So once again, the translation of the word Arami Ovid Ovi, according to both the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, is my father was a wandering Aramean. Right? In other words, it's a reference to Avram, it's a reference to Yaakov, but that's the way to translate the Pasuk. Of course, we all know from the Haggadah Shel Pesach that the Haggadah Shel Pesach interprets these words very, very differently, right? Paro lo gozar ela ala zecharim v'lovon bikesh la'karis hakol. Lovon sought to uproot everything about the Jewish people. In other words, somehow this Pasuk is referencing Lovon. And indeed, that's the way the Targum Onkelos translates this Pasuk. He says, v'seimar kodem Hashem elokach, you should say before Hashem, Lovon arama'a, Lovon ho'arami, Lovon who was from Aram, Ba'a la'ovado yas abba. He sought to destroy my father. In other words, not that the subject of the sentence is not Avi, my father, but rather the subject of the sentence is Arami. There was this person from Aram, and Avi in the sentence is the object of the sentence. Arami Ovid Avi. There was a person from Aram, Lavan, who sought to destroy my father. Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu. That's what the Pasuk is saying, according to the Targum Onkelos. Rashi echoes this pshat of the Targum Onkelos, and he writes, Lavan bikesh la'akar es hakol. Lavan wanted to uproot everything, right? The Rashi quotes the language that's so familiar to us from the Haggadah Shel Pesach. But he adds a few words which are not in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and it's probably worthwhile to remember these words now, and maybe try to remember them for Pesach, so when we sit down to the Seder, we can actually understand the Haggadah a little bit better. Right? All the Mefarshim on the Haggadah ask, where do we see that Lavan bikesh la'akar es hakol? Where do we see that Lavan sought to uproot everything and destroy the Jewish people? So there are many, many pshatim. But it's a Rashi on Chumash. I mean, not that you know, there are no other pshatim besides Rashi on Chumash, but we should know it's the Rashi on Chumash who asked this question. Lavan bikesh la'akar es hakol when? Kisharodaf achar Yaakov, when he ran and pursued after Yaakov, meaning Rashi seems to be implying Lavan was prepared to wipe out Yaakov and his entire family. That's how mad he was at Yaakov for leaving. Now, of course, on a certain level, that doesn't make much sense. When Lavan runs after Yaakov, you know, ostensibly he does so because he loves the family so much, he can't imagine the family picking up and leaving. So to run after the family and kill them would seem to really be defeating his purpose. However, as we know, unfortunately, you can't try to psychoanalyze people who are psychotic, right? You're right, it doesn't make sense. But Lavan was a psychotic individual. So, you know, the fact that he loved them so much, he couldn't stand that they left, so therefore he's going to run after them and kill them, you know. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but yeah, that was Lavan's twisted mind. How do we know that Lavan was prepared to kill the entire camp, Yaakov and his entire family? Because when he catches up to Yaakov, he says to him, Yesh le'el yodi laso simochem ra, I could have done something really bad to you, but Hashem came to me in a dream last night and he said, don't touch Yaakov and his family. So the implication seems to be that Lavan would have been prepared to do something terrible to Yaakov and his family had not HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him and told him explicitly, do not do that under any circumstances.
Rabbi, what was the makar that Lavan had some type of love, okay, psychotic, whatever it was, love for his family?
Well, just a psukim. In other words, why is he running after them? because he was upset that they left. Why was he upset that they left? Because you stole my family from me. So what's he going to do? You stole my family from me, so I'm going to kill them all. I mean, again, that's just the psukim. That's what seems to appear from the psukim. So
it's his daughters and two other children from concubine.
And what? I mean, and therefore what?
It's really, it is psychotic.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that somebody, could talk, talk with a lot of anger, but to really imply that he's ready to kill his own children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't take it for a mechutzan. I mean, he's not such a nice guy.
The overpowering desire for money wasn't simply that. All the birds that he had in Levin felt that the world belonged to him. That the dominating for money, even just on the news now, there was someone where two boys were fighting over a hat or something, and the father now has 25 years in prison. He shot because of that act. Richness that Yaakov took away from him, and he worshipped the wicked.
Right. People do psychotic things, right? So again, let's read this Rashi, because Rashi addresses so many of the things, so many of the kashas that people start talking about around the Seder table. They're in Rashi. I mean, you just have to open up a Rashi in Parashas Kisavo.
So Yaakov was going with all the sheep that he originally started with. It just,
Right.
And that's a big part.
Yeah. But when all said and done, it's still psychotic. Lavan bikesh lakor es hakol. Lavan wanted to uproot everything. When? Kesherodav achar Yaakov. When he pursued Yaakov. Uvishvil shechoshav lasos. Even though Lemaisa, he didn't wipe out Yaakov and his family, Baruch Hashem. However, he planned to do so. So chishev la'amakom kilu asa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he actually carried out his wicked thoughts. Shebeumos ha'olam choshev la'am HaKadosh Baruch Hu machshava kemaisa. Because when it comes to the nations of the world, says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers their evil plans as if they actually carried out those plans. So in other words, Arami Oved Avi, says Rashi, means an Aramean destroyed my father. I want to point out, by the way, that in this regard, Rashi, on the one hand, and the Targum Onkelos and the Haggadah Shel Pesach are not exactly in lockstep. Why? Because although the Targum Onkelos over here writes, Lavan be'ah la'ovado yas abba, Lavan sought to destroy my father. How do you get the word sought? Tried. That's not in the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say, Arami bikesh la'abed es avi. It says Arami oved avi. The pashut translation of Arami oved avi is that an Aramean destroyed my father. Destroyed my father. Not tried to destroy my father. Destroyed my father. So Rashi is explaining why it uses that language. Oved avi means, yes, he destroyed my father. He didn't destroy my father, Baruch Hashem, but he tried. And, he thought he was going to. He plotted, to destroy Yaakov and his family. And in the eyes of the Torah, that's enough as if he actually carried out this terrible, terrible thought that he had. Okay, so that's Rashi, that's the Targum Onkelos. Now, Rashi sometimes brings midrashim, which are not necessarily pshat, but the Targum Onkelos, generally speaking, is bringing pshat. Right, so in other words, the Targum Onkelos learns that pshat in pasuk is Arami oved avi. Lavan ha'arami wanted or tried to destroy my father. That's not a drash according to the Targum Onkelos. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Back to the Ibn Ezra for a moment. The Ibn Ezra, who's clearly, the Ibn Ezra had a Pesach Seder also. He's clearly aware of what it said in the Haggadah. Lavan bikesh la'karis hakol. He clearly knew that the drush of Chazal in this pasuk is not the way the Ibn Ezra understood the pasuk. So the Ibn Ezra explains why he doesn't think Arami Oved Avi in Pshat means Lavan bikesh la'karis hakol. He writes, Ilu haya Arami alavan, if the word Arami referred to Lavan, haya kasuv omer ma'avid, the verb that's used should have been ma'avid. Ma'avid means to destroy. Oved means lost. You know, it applies to someone who is lost and exiled or distanced from their homeland. It doesn't really carry the connotation of trying to destroy someone. So that says that Ibn Ezra, that's why I'm translating Arami Oved Avi as Yaakov Avinu was a wandering Aramean. I'm not translating the pasuk as referring to Lofa. What's the response to that? Again, on the level of Pshat. So some of the Mefarshim of the Targum Unculus write, Marpei Loshon is one of them. Some of the Mefarshim on the Targum Unculus write that this unusual word, Oved, is used because of the fact that he tried but didn't actually carry out his plans. In other words, as follows. Ma'avid would mean he actually destroyed Klal Yisrael. Oved is a funny word. It's a word, and it's in Binyan Kal. It's in the most simple conjugation tense in Lashon HaKodesh. And this unusual word, Oved, is used to imply destroy because it means an attempt to destroy without being successful. So the very pshat of the word Oved, you know, means what the Targum Unculus says it means, that Lavan tried, Ba'ala Ovada, Yas Abba, he tried to destroy my father, but was actually unsuccessful. Finally, we just note that in terms of this machlokas, how to read the pasuk, the Marpei Lashon points out that the trup notes actually support the Targum Unculus against the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, right? Sometimes there's so much in the trup notes, because the trup notes put the words Oved and Avi together, right? It's a Pashto Zokev Koton. So Arami, pause, Oved, Avi, right? Now according to, that works very well actually with Rashi and the Targum Unculus. Arami, meaning Lavan, Oved, Avi, wanted to destroy my father. According to the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, the words Arami and Oved should be put together. So in other words, it should be something along the lines of Arami Oved Avi, right? In other words, it should, you know, the Zokev Koton should be on the Arami Oved. Those words should be linked together, not Oved and Avi. So in other words, the trup actually supports Rashi and the Targum Unculus, not the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam.
On a certain level, if you look at it, you know, things hardest is Panos and Chilo.
Right.
He aborted the marriage.
Right.
And he aborted his Panoso.
Right, right, right.
So, both were very, right. It was like a death.
Right. So he went after Yaakov on two very levels. But again, it's important to note this Rashi over here. Rashi says, when is it that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov? When he ran after him, he had intention to try to kill him. You know, that was what Lavan had in mind as he pursued after Yaakov. The idea was not, let me catch up to Yaakov and have a little, you know, intense discussion. No, it wasn't about an intense discussion. His plan was to have an intense non-discussion, an intense attack, you know, against Yaakov and, you know, obliterate him, Rahman al-Itzlan, you know, at that particular time. Okay, we'll pick up again Thursday night. Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer. Ratzah HaKodesh Baruch.